This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
You know, kind of mind-blowing to think about how the markets have changed. Algorithms now initiate what, around 70% of global trading volume?
It's huge. Really is.
And get this, the algorithmic trading market is projected to keep growing fast, like over 12% each year between 2022 and 2030.
Wow.
So if you've ever looked at Forex and gold trading and thought, that's a data-driven world and I'm just watching from the sidelines, well, this deep dive is definitely for you.
Absolutely. The shift has been dramatic, and it really underscores how powerful data has become in finance. Today, we're diving into a data-driven trading course outline from Cyprian Ondari at dpminds.com.
Right, an expert in quantitative trading.
Exactly. And our mission really is to cut through the complexity and show you how quantifiable data can be used to make systematic trading decisions, specifically in the Forex and gold, you know, XAUSD markets.
Think of it as your fast track.
Pretty much. Your fast track to understanding how the pros leverage data for trading.
Exactly. We want to pull out the most important insights from this course so you can grasp the core of data-driven trading without feeling, well, overwhelmed.
Yeah, there can be a lot there.
Now, we know everyone's coming from different levels of familiarity with the tech side. Maybe some coding, maybe none. So we're going to break down the key ideas clearly, try to avoid unnecessary jargon.
Keep it understandable.
And really focus on those moments where things just click into place.
And you'll see, this isn't just about super complicated computer programs either. We'll be looking at how to identify quantifiable trading signals, things you can actually see and measure.
Real signals.
The vital role of backtesting, you know, seeing if a strategy has historically worked, different data-driven approaches for day trading and swing trading.
Right, different styles.
And of course, the absolute essentials of managing risk and understanding how your own psychology plays a part, big part.
Now, before we get too far along, it's really important to remember trading financial markets carries a significant risk of loss. It isn't suitable for everyone.
That's a crucial point.
You often see stats like around 70% of retail investor accounts lose money when trading CFDs. So please keep in mind that this deep dive is for educational purposes only.
Yeah, definitely educational.
It's about understanding the concepts, not about providing financial advice.
Mm.
Okay, let's unpack this. The course starts with understanding the playing field, Forex and gold.
That's right. A solid foundation in these markets is essential. In Forex, you're trading currency pairs like UR/USD. The price tells you how many units of the second currency, the quote currency, it takes to buy one unit of the first one, the base.
Got it. Base, end quote.
We measure price movements in pips. That's the smallest unit of price change, managed trade sizes using lots, standard, mini, micro, essentially just different amounts of currency.
Different contract sizes.
And use leverage, which can magnify both your potential profits and losses. Margin is the capital you need to hold those leverage positions.
And the spread.
Ah, yes. Don't forget the bid-ask spread. That's basically the cost you pay to enter or exit a trade immediately.
And then there's gold, often paired with the U.S. dollar as XAUSD. It's traded as a commodity, right?
Yep. And often seen as a safe haven asset. Things like economic uncertainty, inflation, they can really move its price.
Makes sense. Now, beyond the instruments themselves, the course outline talks about understanding price action, actually looking at how the price moves on a chart.
Exactly. Instead of just seeing a number, you're looking at a visual history.
So different chart types.
Right. You'll see price represented in different ways. A line chart gives you a simple overview of trends. Bar charts show you the open, high, low, close for a period.
OHLC bars.
And candlestick charts, which are super popular, also show that range but with a filled body, showing if the close was higher or lower than the open, and wicks showing the extremes.
I mean, people read patterns in those.
Yeah, certain candlestick patterns can even hint at potential short-term trading opportunities. Then you've got the basic concepts of trends, uptrends, downtrends, sideways ranges.
Higher highs, higher lows for an uptrend.
Precisely. Lower highs, lower lows for a downtrend. And of course, support and resistance levels, key price areas where buying or selling pressure has historically stopped or reversed price.
And data-driven traders use those levels.
Often, yeah. As potential areas for their strategies to trigger.
Okay, so we've got the markets, how to see price. Now, the course outline introduces two main ways to analyze these markets, technical and fundamental analysis. This deep dive is focused on data-driven trading, which really leans into technical, doesn't it?
Precisely. Technical analysis is all about studying past market data, mainly price and volume, to find patterns and trends that might give you an edge.
An edge in predicting where prices could go next.
Exactly. Data-driven trading really thrives on these tools because they give you quantifiable information to work with. Mm. Fundamental analysis, on the other hand, looks at the underlying economic stuff, financial factors.
Like interest rates for Forex.
Yeah, or GDP. Yeah. For gold, maybe inflation rates or geopolitical risks, things like that.
So, while our focus is on the data from technical analysis, the outline makes a point about still being aware of those fundamental drivers. Why is that crucial, even for a purely data-driven approach?
Well, a key thing to understand is how fundamental events can inject massive volatility, you know? And impact market liquidity very suddenly.
Like a big news announcement.
Exactly. Major news or unexpected geopolitical stuff can make even the most reliable technical signals temporarily, well, less effective, or lead to bad trade execution because prices are swinging wildly.
So
even if your strategy is totally based on data and algorithms, just knowing when these potential market-moving events are scheduled can be vital for managing your risk around those times.
Especially with leverage, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. Considering the leverage often used, which amps up gains and losses, having that awareness alongside your data-driven precision from signal trigger to execution and risk control becomes exponentially more important.
Okay, so now we get to the core of our discussion, data-driven trading itself.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly does that mean in practice for someone looking at Forex or gold?
Data-driven trading, at its heart, it's about making your trading decisions when to buy, sell, hold based on objective, measurable, and repeatable signals you get from analyzing data.
Moving away from gut feelings.
Exactly. Moving away from gut feelings or subjective interpretations and instead following a systematic, rule-based process. The idea is to find statistical advantages in market behavior that you can then exploit consistently.
So it's about probabilities.
Pretty much. Now, some traders might blend this with some discretionary judgment, but the foundation is always that quantifiable signal the data provides.
And the outline distinguishes between systematic and discretionary trading. Can you break that down simply?
Sure. On one end, you have purely systematic trading. Every single decision, entry, exit, size is dictated by predefined rules, often executed automatically by a computer.
The algorithms we talked about.
Right. Then there's rule-based discretionary. Here, a system might generate signals based on data, but the trader uses their own judgment, maybe based on extra rules or context, to decide whether to take the trade.
A human filter.
Kind of. And finally, purely discretionary trading relies mostly on the trader's experience and intuition. Data-driven trading lives mainly in those first two categories. The emphasis is always on objective rules from data.
And what kind of data signals are we talking about here? It's not just looking at a chart and saying, looks like it might go up, is it?
Not at all. The signals can come from various places. The most fundamental is price and volume data itself, looking for breakouts, volume surges, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Then you have technical indicators. These are mathematical calculations based on price volume data, things like RSI, MZD, designed to give insights into trend strength, or if something's overbought, oversold.
We'll dig into those later, I assume.
Definitely. You can also look at quantitative statistical data, maybe correlations between assets, or when a price might be statistically likely to revert to its average.
Mm.
Mean reversion.
Interesting.
Sentiment data tries to gauge the overall market mood.
Yeah.
You even have quantified fundamental data, like GDP figures used in models, and what's called alternative data.
Alternative data, like what?
Oh, it could be anything from satellite images of oil tanks to social media sentiment analysis, often used by more sophisticated quant funds.
Wow. Okay. And the outline also touches on AI and machine learning. How are they changing things?
Oh, massively. AI and machine learning are really amplifying the potential here. They can process huge amounts of data, spot complex patterns humans might miss, even build predictive models.
Sounds like the future.
It is, but it's really important to understand it's not a magic bullet. You still need human expertise to interpret the signals, understand limitations, provide market context.
You just trust the black box blindly.
Exactly. Blindly trusting an algorithm can be very risky because markets are always changing. Often the most effective approaches combine AI's power with human experience and nuance.
Makes sense. Okay, so let's get into the actual tools, technical indicators. The course lists quite a few. What are some key ones data-driven traders use for those quantifiable signals?
Right. Technical indicators are really the workhorses here. They take raw price and volume data and turn it into standardized metrics. You've got trend following indicators like moving averages.
Just smoothing out the price.
Pretty much. Smoothing price action over a period to see the underlying trend clearer. Like a short-term average crossing above a longer-term one, often seen as a potential buy signal. A golden cross.
Okay.
Then there are momentum oscillators like RSI, relative strength index, and MACD, moving average convergence. Divergence, they measure the speed and strength of price moves.
For overbought, oversold conditions.
Exactly. Or if a trend might be losing steam. Volatility indicators, like Bollinger Bands, they plot bands around a moving average based on volatility and ATR, average true range.
ATR measures the size of price moves.
Yeah, the average size. Helps gauge fluctuation. And finally, volume indicators like VWAP, volume weighted average price, incorporate volume at each price level. Gives a sense of conviction behind moves.
And it's not usually about looking at just one indicator in isolation, right? Mm. The outline gives examples of combining them.
Exactly. The real power often comes from combining these in specific, testable ways for more robust signals. For example, in a Forex trend strategy, you might look for that golden cross.
The moving average crossover.
Right. But also want to see the MACD confirming upward momentum is increasing. Or for a mean reversion strategy on gold.
Betting it'll snap back to average.
Yeah. You might look for the price hitting the upper Bollinger Band while the RSI shows overbought conditions. Suggests a pullback is likely. Combining signals.
And while these standard indicators are widely available, the outline mentions creating custom ones using programming languages like PineScript or MQL. Why bother building your own?
Well, a key insight here is that standard indicators, because their default signals are so widely known, might not give a unique edge anymore.
Everyone sees the same thing.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Creating custom indicators lets you develop signals tailored very specifically to your logic and the market conditions you're targeting. Signals others don't have.
But that sounds like a lot of work.
It is. It requires coding skills, significant time for development and testing, and rigorous validation to ensure it actually provides a real edge and isn't just curve fitted to past data.
Ah, curve fitting. We'll come back to that. Okay, so you've developed a potential strategy with data-driven signals. What's the next critical step before risking real money?
Backtesting. Absolutely indispensable. It's the process of taking your complete strategy and applying it to historical market data.
Simulating the past.
Exactly. To see how it would have performed. It helps you gauge potential profitability, quantify risks, find weaknesses, experiment with settings.
And build confidence.
Crucial for building confidence before you trade live. Yes.
The outline mentions manual and automated backtesting. Pros and cons.
Right. Manual backtesting is you going through charts, finding setups by rule, recording results by hand. It can give you an intuitive feel.
That sounds slow.
Very slow. And prone to human error, hindsight bias, you know, seeing patterns that weren't obvious then. Hard to test lots of data variations.
Yeah. So automated.
Automated uses software, applies rules to historical data, generates detailed reports automatically, much faster, more objective, handles vast amounts of data, allows systematic optimization.
Downside.
Requires programming skills or knowing specific software. And the results are only as good as the historical data you feed it. Garbage in, garbage out.
Speaking of data for backtesting,
yeah.
The outline really emphasizes using high-quality historical data. What should you look for?
Yeah, reliability and accuracy are paramount. You need clean data free from errors, gaps that accurately reflects historical price moves.
Not just closing prices.
Ideally, comprehensive data. open, high, low, close for each period for a realistic simulation. Mm-hmm. And the historical period needs to be long enough, cover different market conditions, high-low volatility, trends.
Relevant to your strategy.
Exactly. Also be aware of survivorship bias, especially with stocks. Data might only include companies still around today, skewing results if your strategy looked at a broader set initially.
Good point. And it's not just the data itself, is it? The outline stresses accounting for real-world trading costs during backtesting.
Absolutely crucial. Ignoring transaction costs is a huge mistake. Leads to an unrealistic picture.
So you need to factor in.
Spreads the bid-ask difference, any commissions your broker charges. And potential slippage, the difference between your intended execution price and the actual fill price, especially in volatile markets.
You can leave those out.
You'll likely get an overly optimistic, inaccurate view of potential profitability in live trading. Big trap.
So you've backtested with good data and costs. What key metrics should you look at in the results to evaluate performance?
You really need to look beyond just the total profit. Key metrics include win rate percentage of profitable trades. Average risk reward ratio compares average win size to average loss size.
RR ratio.
Right. Profit factor, gross profit divided by gross loss. And maximum drawdown, the biggest peak to trough equity decline during the test. That's a critical risk measure.
Anything else?
Metrics like the Sharpe ratio, Kalmar ratio, give perspective on risk-adjusted returns. And the total number of trades in the backtest is important for statistical significance. More trades, more confidence.
Now, a major warning sign the outline brings up is overfitting or curve-fitting your strategy during backtesting. What is that, and how do you avoid it?
Overfitting happens when you tweak your strategy's rules and parameters so precisely to the specific historical data you're testing on.
Making it look perfect on that data.
Exactly. Performs exceptionally well in the backtest, but then completely fails on new, unseen market data. You've basically learned the random noise and quirks of the past data, not any real, repeatable market logic.
So how do you avoid that trap?
Be cautious with too many complex rules or parameters. Avoid excessive optimization where you try every possible setting. Test on long, diverse historical data.
Keep it simpler.
Often, simpler strategies with fewer, well-reasoned rules are more robust, less prone to overfitting. And that's where a technique called walk-forward analysis becomes really valuable.
Walk-forward analysis sounds more sophisticated.
It is. A more advanced, robust validation technique. Instead of optimizing on the entire historical data set at once.
You break it up.
Right. Divide data into segments. Optimize on the first segment, then take those optimized parameters and test them on the next segment, the out-of-sample data, without more tweaking.
Simulating real time.
Exactly. Simulates how you'd trade after an initial optimization. Then you walk forward the optimization and testing windows and repeat. Gives a much more realistic idea of live performance and resilience to overfitting.
Okay, so foundational concepts, generating signals, validation through backtesting. Now let's talk action. Different trading styles. The outline details data-driven approaches to day trading. Key characteristics.
Data-driven day trading is about capturing small price moves within the same day. Very short holding periods, lower time frame charts, 1 minute to 15 minute usually, higher frequency of trades.
Aiming for small, quick profits.
Right. So it's very sensitive to intraday volatility and liquidity. Minimizing transaction cost spreads, commissions becomes absolutely crucial for profitability.
And what kind of data signal setups might you see in day trading for Forex and gold?
For Forex, maybe a trend continuation pullback on a 15 minute chart during a liquid session. Use moving averages for the short-term trend. Look for a pullback to a key MA level.
Then confirmation.
Yeah, with momentum indicators like RSI or MACD confirming the pullback is losing steam and the trend might resume. For gold, maybe a momentum breakout on a five-minute chart, especially during high volume.
Using VWAP, perhaps.
Could use VWAP as a reference, yeah. Look for price breaking above below it with strong volume, MACD confirming breakout strength. The key is responsiveness to short-term fluctuations.
The outline also emphasizes session-specific considerations for day trading, especially Forex. Why is the time of day so important?
Critical factor. Market liquidity and volatility aren't consistent 24/7. The London and New York sessions, especially their overlap.
That's a busy time.
Highest volume and liquidity generally. Usually means tighter spreads, lower costs, and better order execution. Vital for frequent small profit trades.
But also more volatility.
Can be, yes. Conversely, late Asian session often has lower liquidity, wider spreads, more potential slippage. Makes trading harder, costlier.
So execution costs matter a lot in day trading.
Hugely. Even small differences add up fast. Choosing a broker with low spreads and reliable execution during your target sessions is very important.
Now, let's shift gears to swing trading. How does a data-driven approach differ when holding trades for days or weeks?
Swing trading aims for larger price moves over several days to weeks, uses medium-term holding periods, analyzes higher time frame charts, 4-hour, daily, even weekly.
Fewer trades, wider stops.
Generally, yes. Lower trade frequency. Wider stop losses needed for natural daily fluctuations, but aiming for bigger profit targets. The focus is often on trading with a dominant trend seen on those higher timeframes.
So the data signals confirm that larger trend?
Often, yes, and help pinpoint good entry points within it.
What are some examples of data-driven signal setups for swing traders in Forex and gold?
For Forex, maybe a trend-following setup on a daily chart using longer-term MAs to define the major trend. Then look for a pullback towards a key MA.
Momentum weakening on the pullback.
Right. Momentum indicators suggest selling pressure is fading. Then maybe a bullish reversal candlestick pattern near that MA as the entry signal.
M for gold.
A swing trader might look for a significant moving average crossover on the daily chart, signaling a potential new longer-term trend, confirmed by momentum indicators aligning with the new trend.
Do chart patterns play a role too?
Swing traders often incorporate classic chart patterns identified on higher timeframes, looking for confluence with their indicator signals.
Holding positions for days or weeks brings different considerations than day trading. Right?
Absolutely. You have overnight risk, potential price gaps between market close and reopen, swap fees or rollover interest in Forex charges payments for holding positions overnight. These add up.
And position sizing.
Because you use wider stops in swing trading for those daily swings, you generally need smaller position sizes compared to day trading to keep the same percentage risk per trade.
So managing holding costs and adjusting size become more critical.
Exactly. While pinpoint entry accuracy might be slightly less critical than in day trading, managing those costs and sizing correctly is key.
Okay, the outline mentions multi-time frame analysis, MTA, quite a bit. For someone new, what is it and why is it so critical for data-driven trading?
Multi-timeframe analysis means looking at the same instrument, URUSD, gold, across several different timeframes at once. The idea is markets often show fractal behavior, similar patterns repeat on different scales.
Like looking through different zoom lenses.
Good analogy. Higher timeframes, daily, weekly, give the big picture dominant trend major support resistance. Intermediate timeframes, 4-hour, 1-hour, help confirm the higher timeframe trend and spot setups aligning with it.
And lower timeframes?
Lower ones, 15 minutes, 5-minute, let you fine-tune the precise entry and exit timing. Analyzing multiple timeframes together helps align trades with the dominant direction and find optimal entries, can significantly increase probability.
What are specific benefits a data-driven trader gets from using MTA?
Big one is trend confirmation. If a lower time frame trend aligns with a clear higher time frame trend, you have more confidence. It also helps refine entry exit.
Better risk reward potential.
Potentially, yes. Use lower time frames for precise triggers once the higher time frame gives directional bias. And looking higher up helps filter out random noise and false signals you might see only on short time frames. Clearer overall picture.
The outline talks about a top-down approach to MTA. How does that work practically?
It's a logical, structured way. Start with the highest time frame relevant to your trading style, maybe weekly or daily. Identify the primary long-term trend. Mark major support resistance. That gives your strategic bias looking to buy or sell.
Then zoom in.
Yep. Move down to an intermediate time frame, say 4-hour or 1-hour. See if the trend here aligns with the higher one. Start looking for potential setups forming in that direction. Identify intermediate support resistance too.
And finally,
zoom into a lower time frame, like 15-minute or 5-minute. Primarily look for precise entry triggers, specific candlestick patterns, short-term indicator signals aligning with the higher time frame bias. Use this to set your precise stop loss and initial profit target.
And MTA isn't just for entries, right? You can use it for confirmation and spotting divergences too.
Absolutely. A signal is much more reliable if you see similar signals across multiple timeframes. That's confluence. Like a bullish MACD cross on the hourly is stronger if the daily MACD is also bullish.
And divergence.
Divergence is when price makes new highs or lows. But a momentum indicator like RSI doesn't confirm, can signal potential trend reversal. Spotting divergence across multiple timeframes adds even more weight to the potential reversal signal.
Okay, so we've talked about when to potentially get into a trade. Now, managing risk. The outline starts by emphasizing defining your own individual risk tolerance. What does that really involve?
Defining risk tolerance is about clearly understanding your capacity for handling potential losses both financially and psychologically.
How much can you afford to lose, and how much can you stomach losing?
Exactly. Financially, how much capital can you risk without impacting your overall stability? Psychologically, how comfortable are you with uncertainty and inevitable losing trades? This influences your strategy choices, how much you risk per trade, everything.
A cornerstone seems to be strictly limiting risk per trade. The outline mentions the 1% or 2% rule. Can you explain that?
It's a fundamental rule of thumb. Never risk more than 1% to 2% of your total trading equity on any single trade.
Yeah.
So with a $10,000 account, 1% risk means a max potential loss of $100 on one trade.
Why is it so important?
Absolutely crucial for capital preservation. Reduces the risk of a losing streak wiping you out. Helps maintain emotional stability knowing your loss is limited. Reduces fear panic. And promotes consistency. Stops you varying bet size wildly.
Then they're setting realistic risk-reward ratios. RR. What does that tell a trader?
The RR ratio compares potential profit aimed for versus potential loss accepted if wrong. An RR of 1.2 means for every $1 risked, you aim for $2 profit.
You generally want that ratio positive.
Generally, yes. For long-term profitability, aim for trades with RR greater than 1.1. Means average winners are bigger than average losers, allowing profitability even with a win rate below 50%.
What ratio should you target?
The specific RR should align with your strategy's characteristics and what backtesting shows is historically achievable and sustainable.
So combining limited risk per trade and consistently aiming for a positive RR is the bedrock of long-term success.
Absolutely. Sustainable success is built on this. Controlling risk per trade, looking for opportunities where reward outweighs risk you're putting probabilities in your favor long term, allows a validated strategy's edge to potentially grow the account over time.
Neglecting either is bad news.
Neglecting either significantly increases chances of substantial losses and ultimate failure.
Okay, so you've identified a signal, determined risk. How do you actually enter the trade? The outline talks about the decision process and order types.
Right. Once your system generates a signal meeting all criteria, you need a systematic execution process. First, quickly verify the signal still aligns with your plan, checklist, multi-time frame analysis. Context still good.
Check everything again.
Then, make sure the potential trade still offers an acceptable RR based on stop loss and target. Calculate correct position size based on risk percent and stop distance. Finally, choose the right order type and execute via your platform.
Systematically, unemotionally.
As much as possible. Avoid impulsive, fear-based decisions.
There are quite a few order types listed. Quick rundown of common ones and when to use them.
Sure. Market order executes immediately at the best available price. Use if speed is priority, less concerned about exact price.
Limit order.
Limit order. Specify the exact price you want to buy or sell at. Buy limit below current price, sell limit above. Gives price control, but risk it might not get filled if price doesn't reach your level.
Stop loss order. Crucial for risk.
Absolutely. Place at a specific price. If market hits it, triggers a market order to close your position. Sell if long, buy if short. Limits loss, but becomes a market order, so no guaranteed fill price.
And stop limit?
Stop limit. Combines features. Set a start price. When hit, places a limit order at your specified limit price, usually slightly worse. Gives some price control after stop trigger, but higher risk of non-fill if price moves fast.
What about trailing stops?
Trailing stops. Automatically adjust your stop level as price moves in your favor. Helps lock in profits while letting trade run. OCO, one cancels the other. Place two orders for different scenarios. If one fills, the other cancels automatically. Useful for breakouts, breakdowns maybe.
And guaranteed stops.
GSLOs, guaranteed stop loss orders. Ensure closeout at exactly your stop price, regardless of gap slippage. Brokers often charge a premium for these. The choice depends on strategy, execution needs, risk management style.
The outline also emphasizes understanding market liquidity, particularly in Forex gold. Why does a data-driven trader need to be aware of this for execution?
Liquidity is how easily an asset can be bought sold without moving the price much. High liquidity means lots of buyer sellers, tighter spreads, faster execution, lower slippage risk.
Forex majors and gold are usually liquid.
Generally, yes, especially during peak hours when major financial centers are open. Knowing current liquidity helps understand when orders likely fill efficiently and when you might face higher costs or execution issues.
Like trading in exotic pair-off hours.
Exactly. Might mean wider spreads, more slippage, eating into profits even with a good strategy.
And speaking of timing, the London-New York overlap is often highlighted for Forex. What's so significant there?
That overlap is when the two biggest global financial centers are open simultaneously. Usually means highest trading activity, volume, liquidity in major pairs.
Which means?
Tightest spreads, most efficient execution, good for strategies needing precision or small profit targets, but also potentially higher volatility as more people trade and react to news from both regions. Need to be prepared for faster moves.
Now, we've mentioned slippage a few times. Can you explain it simply and how traders mitigate it?
Slippage is just the difference between the price you expect your order to execute at and the price it actually fills at. Can be negative, worse price, or rarely positive, better price.
Happens most when?
Often during low liquidity or high volatility, like around major news releases.
How do you mitigate it?
Try to trade during most liquid hours. Use limit orders for price control, but risk non-fill. Avoid trading right before or after major news. Choose a reputable broker with fast, reliable execution.
And GSLOs.
Guaranteed stops eliminate slippage on stops, but usually cost extra.
So you've got your signal, managed entry. Now, deciding how much to trade, position sizing, right?
Absolutely. Critical risk management aspect, essential for long-term success. It's about determining the right number of units or contract size for each trade.
Why is it so crucial?
Trading too large relative to your account can cause devastating losses, even with a good strategy. Trading too small might not generate meaningful returns. Proper sizing aligns risk per trade with your overall risk tolerance and goals.
The outline mentions different methods. Fixed fractional, volatility-based overview?
Fixed fractional is common. Risk a fixed percentage, like 1-2% of total equity on every trade. As account grows, dollar risk position size increases proportionally, decreases during drawdowns, protects capital, lets you ride winners.
And volatility-based?
Volatility-based adjusts position size based on current market volatility, often using ATR. Idea is to risk a more consistent dollar amount per trade, regardless of market chop.
Other method?
Fixed dollar risking. Same dollar amount always, not usually recommended. Kelly criterion, mathematically optimal, but often too aggressive. Goal of all is removing emotion from this key decision.
Fixed fractional seems straightforward. Quick example calculation.
Sure. $10,000 account, 2% risk rule. Max risk per trade equals $200. Trading your RRD stop loss is 50 pips away. Need pip value for lots.
You have a lot of pip value.
Typically $10 per pip for a standard lot, 100K units on your OSD. So 50 pip stop loss on one standard lot equals $500 potential loss.
But max risk is $200.
Right. So need a fraction of a standard lot. Divide max risk, $200, by risk per standard lot, $500 equals 0.4 standard lots.
Or mini micro lots.
It's equivalent to 4 mini lots, 10K units each, or 40 micro lots, 1K units each. So trade 0.4 lots to stick to 2% risk with a 50 pip stop here.
Okay, putting pieces together, analysis, signals, MTA context, risk management via sizing. How does a data-driven trader integrate all this to find high-probability setups?
Truly high-probability setups rarely come from just one indicator flashing. They emerge from confluence, multiple factors pointing the same way.
It's about alignment.
Exactly. Understand overall context on higher timeframes, MTA. Have a specific objective entry trigger from data signals on a lower timeframe. Maybe look for confirmation from other indicators or price patterns aligning.
Consider the environment too.
Yeah, consider current liquidity. Avoid taking positions right before major news. Goal is filtering noise, focusing on setups where different analytical dimensions agree.
The outline gives example setups, Forex trend following, gold mean reversion. Can you walk through one briefly?
Let's take the Forex trend following setup on EURUSD. First, daily chart, higher time frame. Use longer term MAs to see a clear uptrend, e.g. shorter MA above longer MA.
Establish the bias.
Then move to 4-hour chart, intermediate. Wait for a temporary pullback towards a shorter term MA, still above the long term one. Check MACD histogram, is pullback, selling pressure waning, underlying bullish momentum intact.
Then the trigger.
Finally, 1-hour chart. Lower time frame. As price nears that 4-hour pullback level, look for a specific bullish reversal candlestick pattern. Maybe confirm with RSI crossing back above 50.
Confluence across time frames.
Exactly. Higher trend, intermediate pullback weakening, specific lower time frame trigger. That's a higher probability setup. Place stop below reversal candle low, calculate position size, set target, previous high or fixed RR.
Now, even with the best strategy, the outline emphasizes psychology.
Yeah.
Why is understanding emotions biases so critical for a data-driven trader?
It's fascinating. Even with objective rules, your own emotions can totally sabotage performance. Fear makes you exit winners early, cut profits, or hesitate on valid signals.
Greed.
Greed tempts you to oversize positions beyond risk limits or hold winners too long, hoping for more, ignoring exit rules. Hope makes you ignore stop losses on losers, leading to bigger losses.
Regret clouds judgment.
Regret from past losses or missed trades can lead to impulsive bad decisions. Mastering psychology is about recognizing these emotions and stopping them from overriding your systematic plan.
The outline also mentions common cognitive biases, key ones, and how to counteract them.
Cognitive biases are subtle mental shortcuts, distorting judgment. Confirmation bias. Seeking info, confirming your beliefs, positions, ignoring contradictions.
Loss aversion.
Loss aversion. Pain of loss feels worse than pleasure of equal gain, leads to poor risk management. Hindsight bias. Believing you knew it all along after an event.
Overconfidence. Recency. Anchoring.
Overconfidence.
Yeah?
Taking excess risk, deviating from plan. Recency bias. Too much weight on recent events outcomes. Anchoring bias. Relying too heavily on first info received.
How to counteract.
Discipline. Actively seek challenging info. Stick strictly to your objective, predefined plan. Keep a detailed trading journal for objective review. Constantly remind yourself of risk rules before trading.
So psychology and risk management go hand in hand. Risk rules as emotional safeguards.
Absolutely. Risk rules, stops, position sizing are crucial emotional buffers preventing catastrophic decisions based on fear greed. Your plan is an objective anchor. Discipline bridges having a strategy and executing it effectively live.
Okay, you've entered the trade. Outline talks about trade management in action. What does this involve beyond initial stop target?
Active trade management means continuously monitoring open positions using the same objective data-driven principles used for entry. Reassessing if original condition signals are still valid based on ongoing price action indicator readings.
And this might lead to
taking further action. Adjusting stop loss to lock profit or reduce risk. Taking partial profits at predetermined levels or even, with specific rules, scaling into a winning position.
Scaling in and scaling out more advanced techniques. Considerations.
Scaling in, adding to a winner, can boost profits but increases total risk. Needs strict discipline. Only add to profitable trades, predefine add-on levels, manage total risk, adjust stop aggressively to protect gains.
And scaling out.
Scaling out, closing parts of a winner at targets, locks in profits, reduces exposure, eases psychological pressure of timing the perfect exit. Set multiple targets, close a percentage at each, maybe move stop to break even on remainder.
What about using break-even stops and trailing stops in data-driven management?
Moving stop to entry, break-even, usually after some profit, creates a risk-free trade on initial capital. Allows trade more room to run without fear of loss.
Trailing stops.
Trailing stop. Dynamic stop automatically adjusts as price moves favorably. Long position, stop moves up. Short, stop moves down. Locks in profit while giving room to run. Auto closes on significant reversal. Set based on pips, percentage, MA, ATR.
The outline reminds us MTA is important during trade management too, not just entry.
How? Absolutely. Keep monitoring higher timeframes for context. Stay aligned with dominant forces. If higher TFs still support your trade direction, no major reversal warnings gives confidence to hold.
But if higher TFs contradict?
If higher TFs start contradicting or suggest reversal, might prompt taking partial profits early, tightening stop, or even closing the whole trade sooner than planned.
And like everything else, journaling trade management decisions is key for improvement.
Absolutely crucial. Record every adjustment, the reasoning tied to rules analysis, and analyze the impact on the final outcome. Helps see if active management helps or hurts over time.
Journal missed trades too.
Good idea. Journal trades meeting criteria didn't take and why. Helps identify psychological barriers or execution flaws.
We're nearing the end. Last sections.
Yeah.
Optimization and live market analysis. Let's start with optimization. What does that involve for a data-driven strategy?
Optimization is systematically adjusting strategy parameters or rules to potentially improve historical performance, backtest results, or adapt to changing markets live experience.
Like tweaking moving average lengths.
Exactly. Or RSI, overbought sold levels, refining entry exit triggers. But approach with great caution, huge risk of overfitting to historical data, leading to poor live performance.
And the outline mentions walk forward optimization again, as preferred, over optimizing on all data at once. Why again?
Right. Walk forward divides data sequentially. Optimize on segment 1, test fixed parameters on segment 2 out of sample, then walk forward. simulates real-time performance evolution more realistically, greatly reduces overfitting risk because you always test on unseen data.
So optimization isn't a one-time thing, but an ongoing cycle.
Precisely. Continuous loop. Develop hypothesis, backtest rigorously, analyze results, carefully optimize, walk forward if needed, forward test, Demosimo live, analyze live results, refine plan, markets evolve, strategies may need to evolve too.
Finally, key considerations for transitioning from backtesting paper trading to live trading with real capital.
Biggest shift is psychological. Real money brings new emotional pressure, biases. Bridge the gap by forward testing and paper trading. First, get feel for live execution, platform, market speed, without risk.
Then, when going live.
Start with very small position sizes, even if backtest suggests larger. Minimize impact of initial mistakes, adapt to real-time market and your own psych response. Expect some difference between backtest and live results, slippage, execution, emotions. Manage expectations.
And in the live market, how does data-driven analysis differ from discretionary? Mm-hmm. Is the approach the same?
Live data-driven analysis is less subjective interpretation, more objective verification. Do current conditions meet the exact predefined criteria in your plan checklist? Monitor environment, data points still align with strategy design. Adhere strictly to plan, orders, size, risk.
Resist urges to deviate.
Absolutely key. Resist deviating based on fleeting, non-systematic observations or emotions.
The outline also touches on platform proficiency and adapting to changing conditions, even within a data-driven framework.
Yes. Being highly proficient with your charting software, broker's order entry, analytical tools is essential for efficient, accurate live trading. Need to execute quickly, manage effectively.
And adapting.
While sticking to the plan is key, remain vigilant for significant, persistent shifts in overall market behavior, sustained volatility changes, trend dynamic shifts, correlation changes. Recognizing fundamental shifts via ongoing data analysis allows informed decisions on potentially adjusting strategy or reducing exposure until conditions realign.
Well, this has been a really deep, insightful dive into data-driven trading based on this course outline. Key takeaways that should stick with listeners.
I think a few crucial nuggets. First, the fundamental increasing importance of data in today's markets and how tech makes these strategies more accessible.
Second,
the absolute necessity of a complete systematic trading plan defining rules for everything, and the vital role of rigorous backtesting, ideally walk forward to validate it before risking capital.
And third.
And finally, the non-negotiable importance of robust risk management, consistent risk portrayed like fixed fractional, and understanding your strategy's risk-reward profile.
Absolutely. And hopefully this deep dive helped you, our listener, get a quick yet thorough understanding of using quantifiable data for systematic trading in Forex Gold.
Yeah.
Even if you're just curious about these forces shaping finance.
Yeah. A cute insight is even if you don't plan to trade this way yourself, understanding these principles gives a clearer lens to interpret market moves and recognize data analysis's huge role today.
So, for those interested in exploring further, what are some next steps? The outline suggests researching specific indicators. We mentioned MAs, RSI, MACD, Bollinger Bands, VWAP. Understand how they work.
Good starting point. You could also delve deeper into backtesting methods, creating a trading plan, and even exploring demo accounts from brokers is valuable practice applying these ideas risk-free.
Definitely worthwhile.
And this maybe raises an important question for you to consider. With AI and machine learning advancing so rapidly in finance, how might the role of human intuition and experience evolve in trading's future?
Will it be replacement?
Or will it be more about finding new ways for humans to collaborate with and leverage these powerful data-driven tools? Something to think about.
Some fascinating food for thought to end on. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into data-driven trading.